Hello and welcome to this edition of Community Connections. I'm your host, Chuck Curlin. Today our topic is the Healthy Yard Program. And with us to discuss the program is Barley Van Cleef, the member of the Shade Tree and Beautification Commission, and Teresa Landaway. She's the vice chair of the Environmental Advisory Council. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Barley, I will ask you the first question. Tell us a little bit about the program and how you got involved in the Shade Tree Beautification Commission.
Okay. Well, Shade Tree Commissions are actually enabled by state legislation, a statute. And Upper Merion decided that they would have a Shade Tree Commission back in, 1962, 61. Wow. And so we are actually enabled by ordinance. And there are five members, and our mission is to take care of community trees, basically, to try to build our urban forest, to take care of, to plant, to promote, to protect trees.
And how long have you been involved with it?
I joined the commission in 2010.
Wow.
I guess. And yeah,
so you've seen it all, right?
I've seen a lot of progress, that's for sure. And I got there because I have a background in biology and psychology and then environmental education. And that led me to a career in nonprofit management, which then led me to eventually a career with Pennsylvania Horticultural Society, working with their Tree Tenders program, which is a citizen training program teaching people about how to plant and take care of trees. So naturally, I felt like I needed to contribute on a more local level, and I joined the Shade Tree Commission at that point, and we've been working ever since.
Wow, and are you pleased with how things have progressed?
I am. I think there's a lot yet to be done, of course, but we have made great progress through volunteer efforts, through support from the township and the supervisors and the staff, and we're very lucky. We're very lucky.
Well, I don't want to keep Teresa out in the cold here, so this is Teresa Landaway. She's the vice chair of the Environmental Advisory Council. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, the synergy between the two groups and a little bit about the council.
So the EAC, the Environmental Advisory Council, is a supervisory group. So we advise the supervisors on any initiatives that would help protect and provide more sustainable community initiatives.
So now, how long have the two organizations been trying to work together?
Well, I'm relatively new. So I started in 2021, and I think fairly early on started going to the Shade Tree Commission meetings, and we've kind of been working together since then.
Ever since. Yep.
Now, who came up with the Healthy Yard program? Where did this come from?
It was at a conference of, it's a Southeast Regional Conference of other EACs. And during that conference, the West Vincent Township had a presentation about their Healthy Yard initiative, and we were so excited about it that we brought it back here, and we are eager to start it in Upper Merion.
Now, how many people are involved in this? I know you're one of five. Mm-hmm. The council, are you solo or are you working with a team?
Oh, no. So the EAC is made up of seven members, and then we also have a staff liaison, a student liaison. So that's a high school student that also joins us and gives their perspective. And then we have a staff liaison.
Now, is there a limit on how many high school students you can have? Or are you only allowed to have one, or can you have a couple if there are other people that were interested in it?
Well, I think we can only have one official one.
Okay.
But all of our meetings are public, so anyone can get involved. We love to have any and all voices. So we have meetings once a month, and we're always welcome to have, we would love to have the public come.
Are the meetings held specifically in one spot, or do they rotate?
We're usually here in the township building on the bottom floor, but sometimes we move to the top floor. So.
Right. But they are in the township building, which is good.
Always in the township building.
That's all that matters.
Yes.
So if someone watching this program will say, hey, I'd like to attend one of these meetings, because they might have input. And it's always neat to have outside opinions come in, right?
It's very valuable.
Yes. Same thing is true for the Shade Tree Commission too. Our meetings are public. We also have a student, a wonderful student representative, and have representatives from the township as well. And everybody contributes. And we love, again, to have the public. Our work really depends on the input from the community.
Wow. Yeah, and that's important. Now, this Shade Tree and the backyard program, when they're combined, does anybody ever get them confused and get them all like, all right, these organizations are a little bit different, but they try to work together. You know what I'm saying? The EAC and the Shade Tree Commission?
There's an awful lot of overlap. There really is, because certainly trees contribute in a great way to the environment. And in some municipalities that don't actually have a Shade Tree Commission, their EAC actually functions as the Shade Tree Commission. So there is a tremendous amount of synergy between them. And we've been really delighted that we've had Teresa come to our meetings and sort of coalesce the two organizations.
I'm curious, so this is so you attend one of these meetings for the first time. Did you already have a relationship before you met, or did you come in like the, like, you know, the, here comes the advisory council coming into a meeting, so there's a new sheriff in town, you know what I mean?
Like, I think I came in pretty bashful because I didn't know anyone, and they didn't really know me, but we got to know each other pretty quickly.
We took one look and said, we got to have this one on.
Okay. Well, you know what I mean? Because if you see somebody, like somebody's coming in from the outside that you might not be aware of, it's like, somebody's going to be making a lot of changes around here.
No, I think immediately saw the connection between. And I think it wasn't very long after you arrived that we came up with our first thought about what we could do together. So, and I have to say that Teresa shows up at every single one of our volunteer events.
Oh, that's nice.
She does.
That's important, right?
Yep.
You have to be seen.
It's a lot of fun.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And when you have these events, is it who's responsible for getting the word out so other people can attend and get involved?
Your events or my events?
Mostly yours.
I'll tell you, we have had a number of projects that require a great deal of volunteer help. And we get the word out by advertising it on the e-newsletter and the website and so forth. And we work through the Township's Park Partners program quite a bit. So there's information on that part of the website as well on how to get involved. So we have volunteer events at least twice a year, spring and fall, and usually tree maintenance, tree care, but also tree planting as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And obviously when you're involved with somebody from the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society, that's a big, big deal. You know what I mean? I'm not a green thumb, but I know there's a lot of prestige involved in that, right? Yeah, like, yeah, she's
absolutely.
Very modest, right?
Yes, she is.
Well, there is, but it's not about prestige. It's about hard work.
Right.
It's about having a goal and working towards that goal, one tree at a time, one native plant at a time, just getting them in the ground.
Well, maybe I should reword that. It has a very good reputation.
That's true.
That's what I like to mean.
Absolutely.
You know, if you know
absolutely.
Where I'm doing it.
Nope, and I'm very proud to have been a part of that.
Yes, and keep up the good work. And I know the two of you have a number of initiatives together. I guess I'll go with Barley first. What seems to be near and dear to your heart? I understand it could be a nursery.
Yes, so we're fortunate enough to get a grant from the Board of Community Assistance to create a small enclosure, which we are calling our tree nursery, that is protected from deer and so forth. And in that, we now have saplings, actually started out as seedlings, that we are now using for projects throughout the community, but in particular, we are going to be using them for such projects as the Rain Garden, that is what we've been doing also with the EAC.
Ah, nice transition into the Rain Garden, huh? That's something that's, there's two of them here in the township?
Yes.
Are you happy with how things have been moving
yes,
on?
It's been a wonderful process. We got a grant from the BCA jointly with the Shade Tree Commission and also the Stormwater Authority to build rain gardens, which are depressions in the ground that hold runoff and stormwater on the land, just hold it there to allow infiltration so that it's not running off into our roads and causing flooding and many other adverse effects. So this is, both of these rain gardens that we installed are for the purpose of education so that residents can learn about how to build a rain garden on their property in order to reduce stormwater runoff throughout the township. And if we had a whole community of people building rain gardens, we'd have a lot less flooding in our township. So it would be a great thing.
I'm just curious about the engineering with these rain gardens, because as we all know, water finds a way to get everywhere, you know. Yes. Like how is it contained? Is there a science behind it so it doesn't start leaking, and or is it, there are, you know, it's not 100% foolproof, I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Right, there's a little bit of technical knowledge that's necessary, but really you could start with a tiny little depression in your yard and that's a rain garden. If you add native plants that will help absorb that water and you just hold it there, that's a rain garden. So you could really do it in a very, very simple way, start small. But a lot of people like to take the runoff from their house, like the rain gutter,
right,
and build a stormwater sort of rain garden from that, because that's going to collect the most water runoff from the house. So a lot of people do that, but there are many, many ways that will all be beneficial.
And beautiful.
And beautiful.
Yes.
Well, I don't claim to have a green thumb, but here's a question that I'm curious. Native plants, what's the difference between a native plant and what's the alternative?
That's a good one. All right, a native plant is one that evolved here.
Okay.
Right here in Upper Marion Township, if you want to be that precise about it, but it's also could be in Pennsylvania or the southeast part or the northeast part of the country. So they are plants that evolved and are suited for this environment specifically. So they benefit the animals that evolved along with them. So the insects, the bees, the butterflies, and so forth, that evolved at the same time that those plants did. So they are the the connection is pollination between them. So. And that's the beginning of maybe a whole food chain that goes all the way up to us. So it's very important to plant native plants for that reason. So in a rain garden, they're important because they have nice long roots that go down into the ground and they help to guide the water that is sort of sequestered uh-huh. there down into the aquifer below. And that's the point.
That makes sense, because the soil in Florida wouldn't be the same as the soil here in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And you were talking about having a green thumb, and I kid, because I don't have a green thumb either. And that is why native plants are perfect for me, is because they're well suited to this area. You can plant them in your yard and they will grow. You hardly have to water them, which is another benefit that they have, is that they are very drought tolerant. They're accustomed to our climate, which is we get rain and then sometimes we don't get rain for a month. You know, they still do okay. And so I can grow them. Anybody can grow them.
Well, you mentioned something. This is another curiosity question in terms of watering. Are ice cubes just as valuable as regular rainwater? What I mean by is, say you have plants that are in your mm-hmm. in your yard, but you're going to be away for a while. Could you put ice out there to slowly melt? And if you don't have a sprinkler system, I guess that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Certainly.
So it wouldn't harm the plant. Okay.
No. I don't think. I mean, maybe if you put it on the leaves, or if it was, but
in the soil.
In the soil, yeah, it would just melt and become water. It wouldn't mind.
In fact, snow cover is really important for the overall yearly growth of trees, especially in plants, because that allows for a slow infiltration into the soil instead of runoff.
Right.
That's the objective, is we want the water to go down into the soil to nourish the roots and to replenish the aquifer both, as opposed to running off and becoming kind of useless, going down into the flooded streams and then from the flooded streams into the flooded estuary and into the ocean, where it does not help us or the land.
And typically when it's running off, yeah, it's carrying a lot of pollution, fertilizer, pesticides, animal waste, you know, pet waste, and that's all running off into our streams, and that's causing a lot of over-nutrification of the streams.
So is overwatering an issue as well? Could you ever overwater, and can that do damage?
Certainly.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The
you're drowning, I guess, the...
You're drowning the roots. You're drowning the roots. The roots need not only water, but also air, also oxygen. So just like we do. And so, yes, if you overwater, you could take those little air spaces that contain the water and flood them as well.
Oh, wow.
So when we build a rain garden, we use plants that are specifically designed. So they're native plants, but they're also, they really like to, they don't mind being submerged for a few days.
We call that wet feet.
They are wet feet. So they can have their feet wet for, you know, about 48 hours. They're okay. So other native plants are not real conducive to that. But these are sort of wetland plants that can do well that way.
I'm curious, what's the ballpark dimensions of the rain garden? Is it small, or is it 10 by 20? What's the size?
Our rain garden was quite large. I believe it was 30 feet by 55 or something. It's quite large. It's just east of the community garden on that parcel of land on Henderson and Valley Forge and Ross Road.
Okay.
So it's there. It
was basically sized in order to accommodate the amount of water runoff that was coming from the streets, the neighborhood that was uphill.
Makes sense.
So if you're building one in your yard, it's going to be much smaller because you're capturing just the water that's hitting your yard.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Are there plans for any in the future? Any more? I know there's two now.
I always have plans. Yeah. I'm dreaming up future programs.
But I think the educational aspect of this rain garden is really the key, because our purpose, again, is to teach people that it can be done. And that's the future. We want lots of rain gardens, lots of attention to stormwater management here.
Ladies, I guess this is the big moment where we could talk about the Healthy Yard Program. I know there's, I guess, qualifications is a good way, and there are expectations that are needed. I guess share what it's all about, and how, if someone wants to get involved, how would they go about doing so?
So our program is to recognize people who are creating healthy yards on their property. And a healthy yard consists of native plants, native trees, flowering plants that can provide pollinators food spring, summer, fall. So we need to have all those seasons, a source of water, and reduction in the use of chemicals, fertilizers and pesticides, and overall just trying to create less turf and more habitat. So creating habitat for wildlife right on your property can have huge impacts on the biodiversity. And right now we're really in the midst of a biodiversity crisis, and it really all starts with the plants. So the plants, as Barley was saying before, you know, it's a food chain effect. So the plants are food and hosts for the insects, which feed the birds. And recent research has shown that a chickadee, which is a very small bird, one pair for one baby chickadee needs 500 caterpillars a day. So that's 6,000 to 9,000 for one nest of chickadees. And they usually have multiple broods. That's just one species. So you can see why we have a large decline in our songbird population, because we need more food for the wildlife. And so this is to recognize people who are trying to help.
Now, say I'm a resident here in Upper Marion Township. what would I get out of it if I have the Healthy Yard program? Is there a rating system saying, oh, Chuck's lawn looks beautiful? Like, do I get a gold star? Like, is there any type of like, I if you're going to put some time and effort, everybody's looking to be rewarded. Is there anything like that? Or
they can be very beautiful.
Okay.
Right. They are very beautiful. And you'd have the added benefit of the wildlife that you will see. And knowing that you are helping the environment. So you're using those native plants that provide the food sources for all those animals. You're providing not just a monoculture of lawn turf grass, which is a monoculture, which is totally not a healthy situation to begin with, really. It's not a good condition to be in. Because as you know, we always are talking about how things invade our lawns, our crabgrasses and nutsedge and so forth. So what do we use to fix that? We put pesticides on there, we put herbicides on there, and those are all things that are detrimental to the overall environment. They create non-point source pollution in the runoff. Turf is also very shallow rooted and very thickly rooted, so it prevents water from being infiltrated into the ground, as opposed to the native plants that promote that. So there's all of those kinds of problems that are in a typical turf lawn. And even a small portion of that lawn that can be transformed into native plants is a huge benefit, not just for the stormwater aspect, but also for those, the lack of pesticides. That uses less water, it uses less effort, it's not as expensive. The amount of money that is spent every year by the average American on their turf lawn is astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
So it saves money, saves time, effort. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I was just having fun because I was assuming that there'd be like a sign that you're part of the Healthy Yard program.
There is.
Oh,
there is. So the program, and I imagine that you can explain this better than I can, but the program involves about 21 different aspects, different elements of a healthy yard, very clearly stated, and it'll all be on the website. Mm-hmm. And each one of those, you would say, yes, I have that, or I can contribute that, or I can't. If I can't, then there's information that will be presented about how you will be able to transform so that you do have that. And so you can keep coming back to the application time after time until you get the 15 that are required in order to receive this certification as a healthy yard. And it's a lovely sign that will be presented to you, and you can post that in your mailbox or in your yard or wherever you would like it to be.
That's nice then. That is, yeah. So there is something to... Yes. The gain by promoting a healthy yard, right?
Yes, and the idea is that your neighbors, as they're walking by, would say, oh, look at that, what's that? And so it helps to spread the word, and then maybe they're going to ask you questions about how you got your healthy yard sign. And so we're really hoping that this is just becomes part of our community and that everyone can take part.
And they start attending more of the meetings to get ideas.
Oh yeah.
That's what we're all looking for, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I see true synergy here right now. Right? Yeah. That's it. Yes, definitely. So I guess that would be something would be very beneficial. So if someone's watching this, say, hey, this is something that I'm interested in, that's where they can get ideas. And it is neat to say that, you know, people take pride in their lawns, right? They really do. Some people really take pride.
Absolutely.
So this would be a nice little, you know, avenue to follow.
And I think that even if someone is not intending to go for the full gambit, any one of the little elements that they can contribute to will help.
How did you come up with the rating system? Like you said, you have to hit 15 points. Like, how did that all get derived?
This was from another township, so they shared their system with us, and it's just having the majority, more than half of those sort of beneficial aspects to the yard.
Yeah, I was just picturing like like a half dozen horticulturists hanging out in the bar saying, all right, this is what we're going to make them do. This, you know, right. Like something to that extent, you know. Yeah. But I'm curious if somebody, is it basic, they have to use native plants? Can they say if they use something from outside, would that not qualify?
Well, there's kind of a general rule of thumb, which is all natives would be best.
Right.
But if you try to have some mostly native, 80% is kind of a rule of thumb.
Okay.
But there are some non-native plants that are not detrimental. So you definitely want to stay away from any invasive species. So for example, butterfly bush, which is very common, and people think that they're planting this wonderful tree in or bush for pollinators, and it's actually invasive. Okay. And so you just want to really stay away from those invasives, put natives first, but you can also add some beautiful annuals that are non-native and they still have benefits for the pollinators.
Very good. So now someone watching this program that likes to get involved, especially in this program, how would they go about doing so?
You can contact us from the EAC website. You can join our meetings. We really love to hear more ideas, different perspectives, and we really encourage everybody to join.
Great. The same thing with the Shade Tree Commission. For this particular program, this will be on the township website, and there will be instructions on how to apply. If you want to contact the Shade Tree Commission, you can certainly contact us or come to our meetings, but we also will have a website or an email address, which is umshadetree@gmail.com. Right. So that's a good way to get a hold of us or to ask questions. And we really want everybody to at least give it a shot.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, Barley and Teresa, thank you very much for being our guest here today on Community Connections.
Thank you.
From all of us here at UMGA Television, I'm Chuck Curlin. Thank you for watching.